Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. It is Bills Camp Live from St. John Fisher College on AM 950 and 95.7 FM. Glad you're with us and excited to welcome in Rochester sports icon, 13 Wham Sports Director Mike Catalana, joining us in the Sports Bar. You're looking at your credential.
Yeah, it does not say sports icon on here. But, you know, it is funny. I think this is my 31st Bills training
camp. Wow.
And what? Is this, what, 20th here
yeah.
at Fisher? It was very different when we would go to Fredonia. We didn't stay there the whole time, and not to bore people, but we didn't have the technology to be sending video back. We would go up. We would do stories. We would come back. It was a very different world. Nobody was basically daily reporting from every moment of camp back then, but it's been a little bit different through the years.
We were reminiscing on that yesterday upon hearing the news of Nick Bonacani passing away. I mean, think about the days when you had to wait until Thursday night to watch Inside the NFL on HBO to get your football fix every week. Now, it's a, you know, I call it drinking from a fire hose. I mean, we're constantly bombarded with video and information and social media and everything. I mean, the world has changed. And you know, the days of doing it 30 years ago at Fredonia, I'm sure from where we were then to where we are now, you can't even put into words how different it is.
And the difference was we would go to Fredonia and we really hadn't talked to the players at all since the end of the season before. You know, there really was very limited amount of time. They would get together usually like one sort of mini camp. In fact, years ago, before I was here, they had them in Fairport, that they had a couple of three-day mini camps back in the 80s in Fairport. I think they did that twice. So very different world than it is today, as you can see here at Fisher.
As we're now only a few days left with this camp here at Fisher, what's your level of concern right now with Mitch Morse?
Well, you know, we saw him out on the field yesterday. Today he was inside. I don't know the way doctors, medical staff treat a person in the protocol. I don't know enough specifics because certainly the team won't talk about it. It's not in their hands. It'll be when he's done. Look, concussions can be lingering things. It can be to the point where, you know, he's got to wait a while. It's different than having a different type of injury, I think. I think the recovery is certainly different in that way. Right now, I don't even say that they're being cautious because I don't think it works that way with concussions. I think he's either cleared or he's not. So, yeah, not seeing him on the field today, start to think, okay, is it a little bit different than it was? Maybe he had a bad day, bad night's sleep. Or maybe they just decided a day standing out in the sun isn't the best thing for the guy. So right now, still relatively low, but, you know, talk to me in a week and let's see if he's back out.
And the Mike, I don't know if you're seeing the same thing that I'm seeing, but the offense does look different with Mitch Morse outside of that offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, he's the key to everything they're going to do. Calling the defensive or the offensive line positioning, and he's a really good blocker too. And I noticed really especially that Ed Oliver really benefited from not having Mitch in there. He spent a lot of time in the backfield, and it's got to be a little bit different for Josh. Look, they have had the spring together. They've had a few days here. They need more time together. But right now, it's still relatively low.
13 Wham's Mike Catalana, our guest. Is that really the only positional battle we're watching here at this point? Who gets what on the offensive line?
I think it is. We just got done talking with a couple guys in the secondary. You know the three, right? You got Poyer, Hyde, and Trey. And then you say, who's the other guy and who's in the slot? Well, right now, it's Taron Johnson in the slot, and it's Levi Wallace on the outside. First of all, it's funny, because Levi and Trey opposite each other. Levi, a very low-key guy, you know, measured guy, undrafted guy. And you got Trey on the other side, never stops talking, first-round pick, high energy. They are very opposite guys. I love Taron Johnson. I love the way he played last year. And it's funny, Jordan Poyer said to us, you know, when I was hurt himself saying, you know, I was out. He goes, Taron Johnson played through a lot of stuff last year when he was really banged up. He said he's a tough kid. He's smart. He knows he needs to be on the field, and he said if he's healthy, he goes, I have faith in them. So that's big for a position battle that really into camp. Is, you know, we were looking at it that way, but right now it's those two guys in the lead.
And practices this week here at St. John Fisher, Mike, I'm noticing the defense really standing out. The defense looks good, and I think a lot of times when you go to camp, the defense is at a disadvantage, but not so with the Bills. I can't tell if the defense is going to be that good as they were last year, if not better, or if the offense has just been a little bit sloppy with some of the holes that they're trying to fill here with some of the injuries that they're dealing with.
I think it's a combination. I think that defense brings back a lot of guys who've been there. I don't know. I tend to think usually for the defense, it's a little bit of an advantage at training camp. And like I said, they've got a lot of guys that have been around, and the offense with changes. But you guys even, you know, you notice when Morris isn't out there, it changes a little bit. Allen has been, I would say, up and down. Yeah. But again, I'm looking at him differently than I did a year ago. I mean, a year ago, we were just like, hey, you know, he threw a couple of nice balls. This guy may not, at this point, we were saying he may not play this season.
Mm-hmm.
And then by halftime of the first game, he's your starter. So you never know how it goes. But this year, I think he's certainly been much better. But again, there's highs and lows watching him, too.
13 WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalana, our guest here, as Mike, I'm on record saying this. This is going to be a 10-win team. Maybe it's the sun. Maybe something got to my head. You penned a piece that says, you know what, there are reasons to think that this is not a playoff team.
Yeah, I wrote something just in an idea of saying if they're not going to make it, this would be why. And I think, I said that maybe Josh Allen isn't ready. Maybe the O-line and wide receiver, which is an improved position, no doubt, maybe they aren't good enough to take them over the top. And I even said about Sean McDermott. Look, it's an adjustment for McDermott now. You see the way guys coach around the league. We saw little flashes of it late in terms of maybe being a little more aggressive. And I always tell people, it's a lot easier for Bill Belichick to be aggressive when you got Tom Brady than Sean McDermott with a rookie Josh Allen. But the way this game is played now, you know, it's a little different mindset. He is a defensive head coach. They think differently, I think, than offensive guys. But he can portray that to his offensive coordinator and be a little more aggressive. So those were the ideas. Look, I haven't come up with a number yet. I always start, I said, 16 of the last 19 years, this team has won between 6 and 9 games.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They are the most predictable team, maybe outside of the New England Patriots, because New England's won double digits 16 years in a row, which is absurd in the same way. So they are the two most predictable teams in that way in the league. But I think last year's team stunk, and they somehow won 6 games. Now, it'd be easy to say they're better this year. The quarterback will be better. They have more depth. So just naturally move it up to 9 or 10. But that move from 6 to 10 is huge. I see a lot of reason to think they could definitely do that. I want to see them play a little bit in the preseason. I want to see a little bit more. But I'm leaning more towards them being a 500 or above team by the time it comes to pick their record.
Mike Catalana, 13WHAM Sports Director, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, joining us in the Country Suite Hot Seat, brought to you by Country Suite and Triple O. I think a lot of people that have been taking in practice single out John Brown and look at John Brown as the guy that's been a standout. Now, is it because John Brown is that good, or is it because the receivers that we've been used to for so long in Buffalo have been that bad?
Especially last year, I thought that was the worst. I've said this to you guys before, the worst position group I've seen them enter a camp with. And that's right next to the offensive line. But I thought wide receiver, and then add in the fact that Zay Jones was coming off some certainly issues and a physical thing in the offseason. Yeah, Kelvin Benjamin. I mean, seriously, here, they really had nothing. I mean, Deontay Thompson was starting. I mean, they had a really poor group. That wasn't a legitimate NFL threat at wide receiver. So you bring in John Brown, and I always like this because he is perceived as just a guy who can run fast, right? That's what people thought he was. And I think that's what's impressed people more than anything, that he's a good route runner. Look, if you've got that speed and you can then develop that skill, you know, guys can get better once they're in the NFL, right? They can learn. And he already had the physical gift of being able to run, and he really has picked things up as a route runner, and he's talked about learning from Larry Fitzgerald when he's in Arizona. That's a pretty good guy to learn from,
absolutely,
right? And he's been really good in that way. So that position certainly has upgraded. I think Cole Beasley is a guy. I mean, when if they had a slot guy? I mean, Andre Reed, the ultimate slot guy who could go over the middle and do it. I threw out the name Josh Reed. was a guy who used to do that. Somebody said Stevie Johnson, but Stevie was such a quirky player the way he was, very good. They haven't really had a good slot guy, so that will help immensely, too.
Yeah, that's a name from the past, Josh Reed.
Yeah.
No, no, hopefully he has better hands than Josh Reed there.
Well, like, but, I mean, Josh Reed had a few moments, too, where, again, he that's what they want. They want the guy that's going to get off that press coverage, get open quickly. Now, then the key is your quarterback's got to get it to him. I've watched every practice. I'm sure it's happened. I missed it. I haven't seen Beasley drop a ball yet, so that's good to see.
But Mike, one name you didn't bring up, Robert Foster.
Yeah.
Is he not having a good camp, in your opinion?
Well, look, last year he was a guy that was undrafted. They liked him, and then he came in and wasn't ready to go. They cut him, and they bring him back, and he learns from it. I think it's a combination. McDermott mentioned it. You know, Sean McDermott doesn't say a lot of things that are even remotely considered negative. I think they're sending a little message out there. It worked last year where he said, hey, guys had some success. Second year, he's got to make adjustments. Well, one, he's got to be better. And two, you mentioned it, the competition is better. I mean, that's legitimate NFL receivers ahead of him now. So that's made it tougher. I still think we've seen him make some plays. I mean, without him last year, how bad would the wide receivers have been? Yeah. So I don't think they've lost faith in him, but I think he's got to pick it up a little.
Mike, we talked to Bill's head and Tommy Sweeney earlier in the sports bar. That position has gotten real thin through the course of training camp here with the Dawson Knox soft tissue injury, Kroom still recovering, and of course Tyler Kroft, who knows when we see him. But I'm curious, if we do see Tyler Kroft, if he is indeed ready for week one, has he missed anything by not being here?
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any doubt. And because of the type of injury, it's a little harder physically coming back. And, you know, he hasn't had that time. I mean, very limited amount of time. And he got hurt, like, right away in the spring. So he's not had that time. Yes, I think it hurts him. And then they've got to be smart, too, right? I mean, in terms of, like, if the guy is physically ready to go the week before the season starts, like, what are you feeding in there? And I do think this hurts Brian Daboll. I think he came in with big plans for the tight end position this year. And so maybe they got to make some adjustments, you know, blocking-wise. It's funny, Heath Farwell, the special teams coordinator, talked a lot about Pat DeMarco's imprint on special teams. And, everybody wonders about fullback and all. But DeMarco can play some of that role in terms of blocking tight end. You have Lee Smith here, too. At least he can be that type of guy, and you can use him in certain circumstances. He's not running down and catching the ball. That doesn't happen very often. But, yeah, I think it hurts him, and I think it hurts them overall offensively. They got to look at things differently.
Friday night, finally we'll see something, a scrimmage a little bit different. What are you looking forward to the most? What can we learn tomorrow night, Mike?
It's funny. I think Josh Allen has responded pretty well in those 11-on-11 circumstances. You know, again, he's not making all the plays, couple today that were, you know, he's had a few batted down. But I think we're always going to look at that in that live action. When he's got to make a move, when somebody's coming towards him. I mean, they still will wear red jerseys. Nobody's taking them to the ground, but it'll have a different feel to it. I want to see Singletary, too, in that. I think Devin Singletary's looked really good. You get him on the outside, he's got that little bounce, and then he hits the hole pretty quickly. I think they're happy with him. I think they're happy with Frank Gore, too. I think they're happy with those running backs.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, Singletary's intriguing to me because from what we see in practice, it looks like that could be a guy that gets a lot of carries this year. But you've got two veterans that are still very capable ahead of him. Do you think the plan is to kind of shelve Singletary and just use him in spot plays? Or do you think they might unleash the rookie at some point this year, given that he is a rookie, given that he is fresh, given that he might have a little bit more spring in his step than the vets?
I have a feeling he's going to play a lot. I think by the time these things shake out, by the time we're in the regular season, it may look a little differently here. And I said this back and forth to you guys. I don't know about McCoy. McCoy is obviously still, you know, perceived as the guy there. He's had a very different camp. It's not all about him talking to the media, right? I mean, that's a thing. But LeSean McCoy's been pretty open. He's talked a lot. He's talked, and I know there's still some things about the off-the-field stuff. There was a story about, you know, settlement and thing in Philly. I don't think there's one guy here who wants to talk to him about that. At this point, it's about football. And it's odd that 7 days in, he has not chosen to agree to any interviews at camp. And I don't know why that is. Went up, tried to get him today. He didn't dismiss it. He just sort of, with a coach, walked off the field. And, you know, they haven't brought him up there. Look, again, I'm sure there's fans sitting home going, who cares if he doesn't want to talk to me? That's fine, except he's normally done that. So I don't know if that means anything, but it is different for him.
He was a team captain last year, so that would think that would be the bare minimum. And at points last year, he did not want to talk. And as a captain, I always thought, no, that's just a bare bone requirement. Or is it he's trying to shield himself from maybe a question that'll come his way that he doesn't want to answer honestly, meaning, hey, there's a situation in Dallas or a situation out in Los Angeles. Maybe there is something going on here, Mike. I'm speculating.
Yeah, it could be. And you're right about that part. He's also a podium guy, right? I mean, they bring him to the podium. Now, again, if you think of it, if you're a fan, you know, who goes to the podium? The coaches, Josh Allen. And McCoy is a podium guy, or like on occasion, like Kyle Williams was. But, you know, there he was that guy last year. And you said in that terms of being a captain, I don't know. And I don't. Maybe he's just decided to stay quiet this year. Again, he's out there, but not as much as we normally see him. So sometimes you wonder, are they just saving him? Is he in a different place with this team, or is there a plan to do something with him? I find it pretty interesting because this is not the way it normally goes. If a veteran guy with that time around the league, normally you'd be sitting there going, man, Gore's, you know, taking, or Devin Singletary has taken his spot. And then you all of a sudden you go, they're going to do something with him, and then he's gone. That hasn't happened. I could be totally off base, and we could be going week one at the Jets, and there's 25 in the backfield. It just seems different.
13 WHIM Sports Director Mike Catalana joining us in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, Bills Camp Live on ESPN Rochester. You mentioned Kyle Williams, and we've seen him here at practice working one-on-one with Ed Oliver, working with the defensive line. How important is it to have that presence here for the Buffalo Bills? I mean, with him leaving, and you see the impact he made last year on that defense, Lorenzo Alexander is certainly going to be a vocal leader, a veteran leader for that defensive side of the ball, but having Kyle's presence here, it means something, right?
Oh, I think it does. You know, I'm watching him out there, and I'm thinking, he seems to be enjoying this now. There's a big step between coming to camp, working a few days with Ed Oliver, and then going over to Oak Hill to play golf. By the way, he's a scratch player, too.
Yeah,
it's really annoying
good.
That way. And with, what's he, five kids. Like, he's got a different life. He's made his money. Like, you want to be a coach in the NFL? A brief aside, fans will sometimes say to me, you know, why isn't Steve Tasker the special teams coach? And why isn't... I go, because Steve doesn't want to work 90 hours a week. And these guys work like crazy. But I watch Kyle, and certainly he has a knack for it. Certainly he enjoys it, and I think that's the shame of it for Ed Oliver to not have him as a teammate all year. But I'm telling you, especially for like a defensive lineman, those little technique things are immense. The way you put your hands on a player, the angles that you take, he knows that differently. I mean, the coaches know it. But, man, it's coming from the guy who was just there doing it with you. I think it's going to be very beneficial
and
to Oliver.
You mentioned Ed Oliver. He's been a different player with the pads on than he was from the beginning of camp.
Yeah, you know, you watch him. I watch him in drills sometimes, and you just see him explode. And then other times, by the way, a Ed Oliver thing. So I'm watching them leave from the far field to come to the main field, and fans are asking for autographs. And they're all jogging. It's the middle of practice, and Ed starts to jog towards the fans. And the veterans are like, no, you can't sign now. And I thought, well, his instincts were good to go sign an autograph, but you can't do it in the middle of practice. But you're right. And I think the coaches have noticed that. Now, that being said, you can turn it on that way, but, you know, it's hard to do in the NFL. You got to be ready to go all the time. And but it is nice to see, as opposed to the other way, when you're, you know, the gym class hero out there who's running around during the drills and then live plays go with the pads and you're nowhere to be found. He's the opposite, and I think that's the better of the two.
Mike, there will be a day, I don't know what year, where the New England Patriots do not win the AFC East. But if it's going to happen this year or next year, I always thought pressure up the middle.
Yeah.
Again, that's the way to beat Tom Brady. And to me, Ed Oliver represents this great hope for Buffalo Bills fans.
That's what they want. That's what every team tries to do, and you're going to play them twice a year. You can't beat them. I mean, when we can individually remember the wins against the Patriots and all the little narratives that went with them, there was down 21-0, the Fred Jackson down at the goal line game. You know, there was the 31-0 game. There was the Jacoby Brissett game.
There was the Doug Marrone 9-7. We have a winning record.
Right.
You know, they threw
I mean,
the
they
away.
All have these little things. There aren't just like normal ways to beat them. If it's going to happen, by the way, I'm calling violation here. At a fan. I tweeted it out today. guy comes to Bills camp, not just in a Patriots jersey, a Tom Brady jersey.
No, you can't be that guy.
I mean,
you
Tom
can't
Brady,
be that guy.
I mean,
are you testing Josh Allen at this point? Because Josh Allen already converted one Dolphin fan, a child fan, earlier this week. I mean, is that a challenge for Josh Allen? Hey, you want to convert me? I'm wearing the GOATs jersey.
Yeah, he's wearing it walking around the camp. I got a buddy of mine who's here. He's a big Steelers fan, but he was with Bills fans today. And he showed a little respect and wore a Bills jersey today. He said, don't take my picture. I'm a Steelers guy. But he had more respect. You come together. And that's even the Steelers. I mean, you come with a Tom Brady jersey. Really, to Bills camp?
I mean, where do you come down in general if you are the visiting fan? I mean,
fan to a game when your team is there? Have at it. You want to wear it? I think fans could give, and I think Bills fans should give a guy a hard time for wearing the other team's jersey, but not be a jerk. Not just be like over the top. And yes, I know I came from Philly, but it's been bad here times too when a Patriots fan or a Jets fan. Give him a little bit of a hard time, but guys there watching his team. Patriot fan today, there's no Patriots out there on the field. Oh, I'm sure the Patriots will tell you there's some future
arrest
Patriot
that
will be
man,
ready
Mike,
to
that's where I'm at.
Well, I
arrest
did,
that
I actually
man.
Did say to the sheriffs, I go, you may want to go take
Please.
Care of him. They were ready to go out
yeah,
there and get
that
him.
That guy's done.
They may go get him. But in terms of that may happen at some point, they get pressure on him. Yeah, at some point, Brady's going to not be the guy. And look, I'll take it for the Bills whenever it happens. I'd like to see it happen when Brady is still out there. I'd like to see it happen when he becomes human because the Bills made him human and they get to him and they are better than them or they can win the games.
Ask any Red Sox fan. It's great they won the World Series, but the way they did, they slayed the dragon. It meant that much more. If the Buffalo Bills had somehow won the Super Bowl the year that they made it wouldn't have felt right. You've got to somehow win the division. There's in the NBA in the 80s and 90s, you always had this progression that, okay, you had the Lakers. Well, Jordan had to get by the Celtics.
Right.
Or the whole progression of that. You have to get by the Patriots. Mike, I couldn't agree with you more on
that. Yeah, it's the team that's been there. And let's see. I mean, obviously, they're good. They're going to be good again. You know, the thing is, the Bills, you want to win 9 games? You want to push for double digits at some point? It's got to come from the division. We talk about never beating the Patriots. You could still go 4-2 if you don't beat the Patriots. And that's got to be the mindset, I think, if they're going to do this. Go knock off the Dolphins. Go knock off the Jets. We'll see opening day, but I think that's going to be a key to the entire season. And then see what you can do with Tom Brady and company when they come to town.
13 Wham Sports Director Mike Catalana, gracious with his time, our guest in the sports bar for Bills Camp Live. What do you got working this week? I know you're covering the team like crazy.
Yeah.
The 13wham.com.
Yep, we've got stuff, and we're ready to debut and I'll just say this to fans, it's a digital site all dedicated to the Buffalo Bills. Tons of content to be on there, opinion pieces, photos, all that. It is still in the works in terms of getting it the way we want it. It'll certainly be ready later in the preseason into the regular season, and I appreciate you letting us talk about it a little bit. We've got some good stuff there. We know people like the Bills stuff. I know not everybody watches Channel 13 all day, every day. They watch Fox Rochester, too.
I was going to say, or they can watch it on demand.
Well, these are the kind of things. But so we want to be out there. Plus, you know, we're on Twitter a lot. You know, I'm just the social media guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have a nice fancy new camera as well, and I know you're very busy. You want to head out to Letchworth so you can snap some shots. We want to make sure that you have plenty of time to get,
Let
you know.
Me tell you something. It's this Sony digital camera. I got to tell you, if somebody like me can take a good picture with it, it makes me want to run to a national park and go out there and take photos of
birds,
bridges, whatever's out there. You know, state park maybe would be a good spot.
The weather.
You know any good ones?
There's a lot of beauty in our
Letchworth.
Area,
Letchworth is beautiful.
Letchworth's got
Letchworth
a lot
would
of good
be beautiful.
Stuff. I mean, who else is taking pictures
It's a wonderful
out there?
Day today at Letchworth if you
it
want
is,
to head out there.
If you want to go out there.
13 Wham Sports Director Mike Catalana, our guest in the sports bar. It's Bills Camp Live. Mike, enjoy the rest of camp. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, fellas.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.